read a few verses of Scripture this morning. First Scripture is in Hebrews, the first chapter, the first verse. And God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of God, of his power, the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I thank God for that this morning. The Lord speaks at some time in every man, woman, and boy and girl. He speaks to them at some time in their life, calling them out of the life that they're living into a better way of life. I have been trying to visualize mankind as God did when he looked down upon him and saw that his heart was only evil. The imagination of his heart was only evil continually. I'm sure that it grieved the great God of heaven to see the imagination of man's heart being only evil continually. It seemed like that every thought of his mind was just controlled and in the direction of evil and just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I thought that God wanted to show them a better way of life. But it seemed like that the way God's plan was fixed and settled in his mind, I believe the Lord said something like this, that I'm going to become a man and go down to the earth and walk and talk and show man a better way out, a better way of life, a better way than he's living. Hannah Whitall Smith wrote in a little book that I read, she said you could take a young man and let him stand over an anthill all the days of his life and see them struggle and work and labor, and he never could help those ants because he couldn't talk in their language. But if he could become an ant, he could show them a better way of life. He could talk to them. So God came down from heaven to earth as a man in the form of his Son, that he might show mankind a better way of life, a better way to live. God didn't intend for man to live in wickedness, in trouble, in heartache and sorrow. He gave him every attribute into creation. And he gave him the power of the free moral agency to choose for himself to live a better way of life. Always have been from the beginning, when God placed man in the garden and gave him the commandment that of every tree of the garden that he could freely eat, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the day that he ate of that fruit, he would surely die. If he even touched it, he'd die. From that time forward, man became an individual responsible to God for his own life. God gave him that franchise. And Webster says that the franchise is a gift or a grant that's given by one that has the authority to give it, that enables a man to do something that would be impossible without it. Without that franchise, you and I would not have the choice that we have today. We wouldn't be able to make the choice for ourselves. Not one of us in this house this morning came here because we were forced to come. We came because we chose to come. And the things that we choose to do in our lives, God has fixed it to where He will allow us to do the things that we choose to do. I thank God for that this morning. I think about Enoch. Enoch just didn't walk with God. God didn't force him to walk with him. Enoch chose to walk with God. And when he chose to walk with God, God coupled up all of his power and glory and love to walk and talk and commune with dear old brother Enoch. And Paul said in the 11th chapter of Hebrews that before Enoch was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Dear ones, we can please God if we choose to. I believe that Noah chose to be a perfect and an upright man. I believe that he chose to do that. And when God saw that he chose to be perfect and upright, God honored that. And he coupled up all the power of heaven back of that. And he said Noah found grace in the sight of God and preserved the whole human race. If it had not been for that, you and I would have been in oblivion today. We wouldn't have what we have today. We wouldn't have the opportunity that we have today. So I thank God this morning for the privilege that God has given every one of us as an individual. We cannot put the blame on anyone else if we don't make it to heaven. We have to turn, and you will at the end see that you made the choice. We sang a song, Lost Forever. And in the chorus of that song, I believe it says, if then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember that you have chosen to be there. So I pray this morning that you'll think a little bit about your own soul today if you don't know God. Amen. That God has given you that faculty and that facility, and no man can take that away from you. God will never repeal that. It's yours to make the choice for yourself. It says the free moral agency of the power to choose. The dictionary defines an agency as one having the power to act. And a choice is an alternative between two things. You can choose either one of them, but not both of them. If you choose one, you have to reject the other. There's a scripture found, Brother Don, if you'd get it for me, the 6th chapter, the 24th verse of Matthew, that God has been faithful to love us enough to give us His written word that we may know of a surety that we are individuals responsible for our own conduct and act in our life. And He wants us to know, would someone get 2 Corinthians 5 and 10? Read that, Brother Don.
No man can serve two masters.
No man can serve two masters.
For either he will hate the one.
For either he will hate the one.
And love the other.
And love the other.
Or else. He will hold to one.
And despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to make a choice. This is a definite thing, dear ones. There is no halfway Christian. There is no double life. This is a positive, definite choice, and it's a single choice that you have to make. Yeah, that better
be. For we must all appear
before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Now, that's fair enough, isn't it? God gives us a fair deal. God is an equal God. He's a God of equity. He shows no partiality to no one. God has let us know that our own life is in our hands. And if we choose God, when we make that choice, all heaven opens up its power to make that choice come to pass. Glory to God. It'll do it, dear one. There is a key that opens up and connects the soul to the power of God through the choice of repenting with godly sorrow and asking God to forgive us. We're sorry that we've done wrong. And that opens up all of the power of the heavens to give us salvation. If we confess our sins and forsake our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glory to His name. Oh, when I found this out, it made me happy in my soul. In the 62nd chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the first verse, this is a prophecy of the coming of the Son of God and His works and His purpose coming into the world. I don't know just how many years this was before Christ came, but Isaiah is talking just as if he was here today. He says, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Oh, thank God this morning, dear ones. God has sent His Son into the world to set every man, boy, woman, and girl free from sin. Give them a life of liberty. Give them a life of joy and peace and happiness. A life of prosperity. I've been thinking quite a bit about the economy of our land today and the economy of the kingdom of God. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. There is no poverty in the kingdom of God. There may be in the world. There may be trouble in the world. There may be heartaches. There may be people in captivity. There may be people in prison. But there's none in the kingdom of God. If men and women and boys and girls would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God guarantees them to supply them with everything they have any need of in this life. And He'll make them satisfied and contented and happy in whatever state they're in. Oh, I praise His name for this morning. It really works like this. You know, I don't see hardly how that we as intelligent people could doubt God this morning. You read in the Bible where God said, let all the waters gather together in one place. And it was so. He said, let the dry land appear. And it was so. He said, let there be a great light in the heavens, the sun. And it was so. Let there be a moon and the stars. And it was so. And everything that God made and created, he looked upon it and said it was good and very good. See, God is a good God. The very root of the name God comes from the root good. God is good. I thank the Lord for this morning. It's so simple and so plain and so obtainable for every one of us. I realize that the natural man has a real struggle with himself on the inside. But God has given you something that in spite of your own self, God has given you a mind and a conscience and a will. And all these things that God gave to you and I was attributes that we could please the Lord with them if we so chose to. The greatest battle that we have, I believe, is right up here in our minds. Because everything that we have to do with is presented to us as a thought. And every thought that we have in our mind has to be disposed of and made a decision or a conclusion. There's no thought that comes to our mind but what we have to do something about it. We have to make a choice to either reject it or accept it. And our conscience, God has given us that we could have a consciousness of the rightness and the wrongness of the things that we choose. I thank God for that. But oh, dear ones, when we get salvation and the love of God, that awakens every sense in our being. Our five senses, all of our appetites and desires and emotions and affections, everything that we have to do with is awakened to the love of God. Things look different out of our eyes. They even smell different. Things taste different. We hear things and they are heard different. Isaiah says the trees will clap their hands at you. Oh, praise the Lord for salvation this morning. The love of God is the very image of God in the soul when we get full salvation. That love will control and govern us in every aspect of our life. It will control our thinking and our choices to cause us to be happy, contented, and satisfied. If you're here this morning and you're unhappy, and you have allowed the devil to take you captive, you're bound, Jesus came to set you free and turn you loose. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You can go free this morning. It's so easy to be made free. You know, you can just speak the word to God that I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to do that anymore, Lord. If you'll forgive me, that's what I told him. God will deal with you. And God will keep his deal. His deal is fixed and settled. If you will, God will. Oh, I never will forget the joy and the peace and the feeling of contentment that I had when God set me free. I didn't have to sin anymore. Didn't have to do one thing that was wrong. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Oh, I'll tell you this morning, if I could, I'd pick everyone up in this house if I had a way of knowing who needed God, and I'd carry them to God. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, beginning at the 14th verse. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Oh, you can't get in the presence of God without receiving something from him, if you have a desire to receive it. You see, all you have to do, there was, I believe, two blind men, or one blind man anyway. Jesus said, "What would you that I would do for you?" He said that we receive our sight. He said, "Receive your sight." And they received their sight. So whatever need you have this morning, if you will believe with all of your heart, you can receive it, you can have it. It's just that simple. God's plan is real simple and plain. He has condensed it down to where even you and I, that don't have much education, can understand it. And charge them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory." Dear ones, God knows you altogether. He knows where you're at this morning. He knows if you've been bruised and broken by sin. And he's standing ready. Did you ever see a broken reed? You know, whenever they break completely over. And there's quite a wound there. And when a soul is wounded and bruised by sin, they break clear over. They may not think they'll go clear over, but they will go clear over. Jesus will turn that up and bind it up by the love of his great heart and bind it. And a smoking flax. They used to make their fires like that. They'd strike flint stones together and make a spark. And one sister told me, she said, "Brother Ori, you have to fan that just right. If you fan it too heavy, you can put out the spark. You fan it just right, it'll begin to break into a flame and give you a warm fire." That's what God If he sees one spark of desire in your heart that you want to live for him, he'll make it possible if you'll make the choice. But God has put that responsibility upon every man, woman, boy, and girl that they have to make the choice. If you'll make the choice, God will couple up with you, and he'll forgive you of your sins, and he'll give you power over sin. He'll do it. He'll put within you his power over sin. He did that for me. And he'll do it for you. That's why we're here today. You know the Lord, he deals with some for years and years. He comes as a general rule in the still of the night, talks to you on your bed, and makes you have a conscious knowledge of your lost condition. And he, with a very kind wooing of his spirit, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." He doesn't ask you to do this in yourself. You can't do it in yourself. This has to be God working. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's easier to live for God than it is to live out in sin. Sin is a hard way to live. It's a burdensome way to live. It's a heavy laden way to live. You're laden down heavy day by day. You have to get up in the morning. But when God comes in and forgives all of your sins, to never remember them against you no more forever, you can get up with a light heart every morning. And God will make you so happy, and he shall awaken all of your forces, that when you go on your job or your duties of the day, they'll seem like nothing. We sang that song, you know, "The toils of the road will seem nothing when you get to the end of the way." This works. I'm not talking from something that I'm just reading. I've tasted it, this dear one. This is a good life. This is the only life. You'll wind up an absolute failure if you don't live for God. No way you can be a success outside of God. Oh, you may live and look prosperous in this world, but at the end you're going to wind up a failure. Lose everything that you've labored for, and on top of all of that, the scripture says, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dies not. You'll have to burn forever and never be consumed. No way to get out of it. I thank God it was fair enough with us to send the ministry of the gospel that we can hear about Jesus Christ that came from heaven down to earth that we might have this salvation. I'd like to read in the 8th chapter of John this morning. This is the most beautiful picture of the great love of God that there is in the Bible, I believe. Beginning at the first verse, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him." He wrote when he stooped down on the ground. But I'm going to give you what I think he wrote. I believe he stooped down and he wrote, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, that's me saying that. I don't know what he wrote, but he wrote something that made an impression on those wicked Pharisees' minds. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now Jesus did not deny them the privilege of exercising the law that they understood and they were under. The law was, if you violated the law, there was no mercy. You were stoned to death. Sure death. I can see that woman as they drug her and pushed her and shoved her and throwed her down at Jesus' feet. She could feel the stones almost. She knew that she had violated the law and that she was only worthy of being stoned. Can you see her fearful among those wicked Pharisees and in front of the Savior of the world? Can you feel the things that went through her mind? I don't believe any of us could feel the very depth of it because she was expecting a stone to come any moment. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, I'm come to see and to save that which is lost. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise God. He got that woman, he snatched her right out of the very jaws of death. And the death sentence is passed upon every transgressor this morning. If you're here today, away from God, I beseech you in the name of Jesus that you come to Him and plead your case for mercy. God will have mercy upon you. He didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world. He didn't authorize any minister to preach condemnation upon the world. He commissioned us to preach Jesus Christ, the Savior, the forgiver of man's sin, the giver of salvation, the lover of your soul. I thank God this morning that He didn't call me to condemn the world. I'm thankful that the government's up on His shoulders. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor. You can go talk to Him. You don't need to be afraid to approach Jesus. If there's a soul in this house this morning that knows that you're in prison and bound with the bondage of sin, if you'll just come and tell the Lord that you want to be made free, set free. You want salvation. The Lord will give you salvation. He'll set you free. You can face this world. You can go out of this house, and that snow out there will look different to you. You'll be satisfied and contented. You'll be happy in your soul with salvation. The love of God will awaken you to the finer and the better things in life. Amen.